What's up, everyone? This is Press X Presents, our Borderlands 3 review. Press X to Start is a gaming podcast where we bring you the latest gaming news, impressions, and all things video games, but from a minority perspective. Today on the cast, I am your host, DJ, aka Sexy Bad Choices, aka A Little Sick, aka The Dude Bub will probably fuck up your name, but I am sorry. There's no Did You Knows today, because we're talking about Borderlands, and you know what that's about.
And returning from a long hiatus, I'm finally out of my hyperbolic chamber. I can't go Ultra Instinct anymore, because, you know, story reasons.
True.
Your boy, JX Spot, Jordan.
All right. And our special guest.
Annie. Hello, everyone. This is Annie, aka Boss Lady, and I am here to talk about Borderlands.
Yeah. All right. With that being said, I think it's time to start our review. So first up.
10 out of 10. Game of the year.
Wow.
And we're done. Thank you guys so
much. That's been another episode of Press X.
I disagree.
Great job, 2K. Hit out the park. Yeah. One more time.
Absolutely no issues at all. All right. No bugs. So first up, what was the characters that you guys picked? Jordan.
I picked Amara because time and time again, it's clear that Siren's on the main protagonist of these stories. I mean, look at it. Like in turn, like what Sirens came back?
You're right.
Lilith came back and Maya came back. Yeah. We'll talk about Maya's demise later. But at the same time, you just can't, like, seriously, like everyone knows that Sirens are the ones that kind of hold this little narrative universe together.
Oh, side note. This is a review, so we're going to spoil the hell out of this game.
Mm-hmm. Tanis became a Siren. Spoiler.
Yeah. And as we saw throughout the course of this game, the Sirens are going to die, so I hope you enjoy your character.
Yeah, Ava, little orphan Siren.
Oh, yeah, she's going to die later.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But you know what? We have the most development. Go Amara.
Yeah. Annie, what'd you pick?
So I actually picked Flack. The reason why, it kind of felt more like Mordecai. Mordecai is my favorite character of all the games, pretty much. I had a really deep love for Bloodwing, and I was trying to find that with my skag, and it just never was quite there. But, you know, I kind of stuck with Flack.
It's okay. Cool.
Did you play Zero and Two?
I played Zero and Two.
The long range sniper.
Yeah. Definitely my characters. And, I feel like they all were great in their own ways.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. I also did Flack. Mm-hmm. Because he has pets.
Yes. And
pets are awesome. I
loved how your character's pets would kind of walk around the cutscene, but they would be invisible. So like, you see like a floating gun. I'm like, yo, DJ, spay your whatever that is.
Oh, yeah. And your spider has a big butt.
Yeah.
Yes, she does. Yeah.
That my spider aunt was named Scooberton.
Mm. Oh,
his name was Rex before, but I named him Scooberton.
I don't even know how to change the name.
Yeah, you have to go.
there's a lot of mechanics for figuring it out. Like during a little pulse session,
basically,
of how Borderlands works.
You have to go into your PlayStation menu, delete the game, reinstall the game, and then at the beginning, you delete the game again, and then reinstall the game again, and then it's going to ask you to change the character's name.
That can't be it. Are you serious?
No,
that's a total lie. That's a total lie.
I know what I'm about to say.
You just go into the change station, and then at the bottom, it's like your character name and your pet name.
Might as well. Yeah, might as well be.
Might as well like uninstall it.
So yeah, what was your guys' past experience with Borderlands? Like, are you new to the series, Jordan?
I don't know. It's the funny thing about Borderlands and its like adjacency and okay, well, let's start at the beginning. You know, I was born in 1991. No, so in college, remember On Live?
Yes.
The
how
cloud
can you not remember
streaming service. One of the free games I had of it when you signed up for like a monthly trial or something like that was Borderlands. I never played Borderlands before. I was like, you know what, this game's all right, but the internet connection at my college was pretty garbage, so I couldn't really enjoy it.
Right.
It wasn't until the summertime where I got Borderlands for like $9. I'm like, wow, this game's pretty dope.
Yeah, especially for $9.
So I beat it, and then I didn't play DLCs. I just didn't care. But then Borderlands 2 came out, and that was a significant, you know, improvement in quality compared to Borderlands 1.
Did you pay $60 for that?
Yeah, yeah, I got it. Okay. I got it when it came out. You know, like they, it felt like they put a lot of character into that game that hasn't. It's kind of like Rick and Morty in a way, like a big like research. Like, oh, video games can be like this. You know, video games can be. You know, I mean, even though that wasn't the first time.
Yeah.
You know, comedy and sarcasm was introduced right. into a story.
It's one of the popular ones where like they made like a meta video game in terms of the jokes that were like quote unquote current kind of thing.
Rick and Morty.
Exactly.
That's what it was. Yeah. And, I mean, I don't want to liken Borderlands fans to Rick and Morty fans because I mean, actually both can be problematic. But then pre-sequel, you know, I became a bit of a Borderlands fan in terms of the story and narrative.
Yeah.
So yeah, like pretty long history with this series.
Okay. Annie?
So I've actually played Borderlands 1, 2, and 3. I've not played any of like the pre-sequels or the Handsome Jack thing or whatever.
Well, the Handsome Jack thing was just all of 2 and pre-sequels together. It's 154 hours of content. It's pretty scary.
Okay. Oh, wow.
I gotta wait. Okay. So what was the Telltale?
Yeah, that one I did not play.
Because I always confuse that with the Handsome Jack collection thing. Because I always think like when I say Handsome Jack collection, I'm talking about that Telltale Borderlands.
No. Totally
okay.
Different.
Yeah. I'm same as Annie. Like I played Borderlands 1, I played Borderlands 2, I skipped the stuff in between, and now I'm here at 3.
Best way to do it.
Yeah,
I played the Tall Tale Borderlands also, all like the whole series of that
Telltale.
Too. Yeah, sorry, God. Telltale. You're saying Tall Tale, but now they don't exist no more, so it don't matter.
Right. Okay. So before we actually get further into this story of Borderlands 3, what did you guys think of the jokes in this game?
Jokes, I mean, they were like old and cringy, and I feel like it was like that really old uncle of yours that's trying to be hip and cool and like connect with the millennials, and it just kind of didn't really work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was your uncle that just reached 300 friends on Facebook, and he's super happy about that.
Yes.
Super
just
happy.
Got an Instagram account.
Just got an Instagram account.
These memes are cool.
He might watch a little bit of Dee Somero.
He doesn't screenshot well, and it's it shows you where he stole it from.
He doesn't understand that sarcasm is not translated through text.
Yeah.
To which he's like, I'm going to kill you with like big capital letters.
Right. Yeah.
And it's like, where's the joke?
The two knives emoji. Like, whoa.
Whoa, man.
That's a little too much.
Come on, man.
Yeah, like, I definitely feel like the jokes in this game are dated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember, it's a game that was being made over 7 years, so you see stuff. Like, we just said the final trophy, well, the final story trophy was by Felicia.
Right.
And I think that was probably back in 2016. Or 15 at best?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like, no, I know it was not within the last 2 years people have been saying that.
Yeah, like when I was playing with Avery made a really good point and was like, if this game was released 4 years ago, 5 years ago, this game would be amazing.
Yeah.
Because it would be so current and all the jokes would hit, but all the memes in this game would hit harder. And it's just like, that's the problem with when you try to be current with your video game. In this era, because we move so quickly, you're not going to be able to keep up.
I just hope that 2K sees that and actually puts a little bit of its fan base and, you know, people who are hoping to play the game in the actual development of it so that they tell them, like, hey, maybe you shouldn't name this trophy by Felicia.
Exactly.
Things like that.
Well, you know, what knocks, at least in terms of why it just felt so out of place in terms of period within a decade, mind you. But video games move fast, so.
Exactly.
Battleborn. That's what messed it up. Like,
Battleborn. Yeah.
So, Battleborn is supposed to be like their big, kind of like Destiny-esque shooter. Yeah, like, it's supposed to be like, it came out like right around when Destiny came out, Battleborn. Like, it's supposed to be.
No,
like,
it came out when Overwatch.
Okay, well, Overwatch, but it wanted to do, like, this, you know,
came out right before Overwatch.
Character, super type, MMO, RPG type thing.
Yeah.
It was garbage, no one liked it, and I think that it kind of threw the development schedule totally out of whack, but I think there was other internal issues that kind of kept on pushing it back and back and back and back, and 2K was like, no, you're not going to release the same year as Red Dead, sorry.
Right.
Gonna push you, gonna try next year, buddy?
Right.
Not the same year as Red Dead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I mean, not to completely hammer on this game, I feel like for me, the jokes that worked were jokes that spawned from things that were happening in game.
Yeah,
like, where they weren't trying to pull from like quote unquote current media. Some it was just like some of the jokes that were in the side. So it was like, oh, this is cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Agreed.
So, yeah.
There was one joke that I laughed pretty hard at. I forgot though.
Tell it.
No. I think
tell
it was,
it, Jordan.
I think it was a joke made by Ellie. Maybe. I think Ellie was one of the funnier characters.
Yeah.
Wait, which one was Ellie?
Ellie was on Catch a Ride.
Catch a Ride.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I think it was from her. And also Jacob's. The son. Like he was like Tina's nuttier than a bag of squirrel nuts or something like that.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So let's dig into the story. Overall impressions. What do you guys think of the story?
The story was okay, except like I just really had an issue with the main villains being twins and like some sort of like YouTuber type way. Yeah. I don't know. It just felt really weird. I mostly played for the gameplay itself, whereas other Borderlands games actually really did catch my attention in the storyline.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't really care much for the story this time, unfortunately.
Yeah. I'm sort of along the same lines as you, where I saw that they were YouTubers. I'm like, okay, that's fine. You're trying to be current. And once I had that in my mind, I kind of limited my expectations of what the story was going to be or like what it could possibly do.
Yeah.
So I was very much so like, all right, I'm just going to play this. At first, I was really trying to focus in on the story and like trying to like grasp all the little threads that they're throwing out there. But then it was just like, nah, man, that's a waste of my energy. Like, I just need to get this gun that's purple in front of my face and see what it does.
Yeah, no.
Throw it away.
Mm-hmm. I had came into Borderlands 3 with the intent of having the scale of what was established in Borderlands pre-sequel expressed. So, like, this, you know, galaxy-wide vault hunt, you know? I think at the end, like, near the end of Act 1, when you fight the vault beast on Pandora, the Pandoran vault beast again. I was like, all right, I'm fine with this. Like, okay, each one of these planets have a vault, mm-hmm. and then when you get to the main, you know, galaxy wide vault. I think after Athena, it kind of got a little bit weird.
Okay,
the vault beast was on Athena.
Vault.
So like, yeah, like when that happened, Maya died. The story kind of went off the rails a little bit in terms of what the twins were, what they were trying to do. They were just trying to gain power from the vault beast itself. It wasn't about what was in the vault anymore.
Right.
And when they said the Destroyer was a callback all the way to Borderlands 1, a little squid monster coming back again. I was like, all right, I'm going to fight that again.
Yeah.
You know? So
yeah, that was weird because like, I thought I killed it.
Yeah, I thought.
And how did it come back?
And I thought there was a different type of destroyer in 2. Remember in 2 the big skag monster?
Yeah.
I think Jack called him Destroyer also. I don't know if the destroyer takes multiple forms or something like that.
Well, I mean, you could just say, oh, that's a destroyer because it's destroying things.
Exactly.
Yeah. Maybe someone was doing CPR on the destroyer. Killed it.
Come back, we'll bring you back. But in terms of Borderlands fan service, I found the story pretty underwhelming. You know, it's like, all right. Yeah. At the end of it, I was like, okay, here we are. You know, like, yeah, like, it was, the pacing was off after beating like this giant monster and Athena, then going to Eden 6. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Kind of having to do it all over again.
Yeah.
I definitely felt the like roller coaster, but it wasn't like, it wasn't a good roller coaster.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, like, we can touch on it now. Like, after when we have to, I forget where it is in the story, but when we have to go to Necro.
That's the very end of the story. That's Act 3.
Necro de Feo? Yeah. Like before that, I was like, oh, okay, cool. Like, Tyrene kills Troy. Are we going to fight her now? No, she leaves. Why didn't someone shoot her? Like, shoot her.
you leave Pandora to come back between Eden 6 and Necro de Feo. You fight Tyrene and them because it was like one of the vault keys to the main vault was on Pandora.
Yeah.
You had to get that again. You didn't get it the first time. Sorry.
Right.
You had to escape the first time. You came back and then Tyrene runs to Necrophael to unlock the Galaxy Vault.
Right.
And you mm-hmm. fight her there.
Right.
So yeah, like between Eden 6 and Necrophael is Pandora again.
All right, so since we're talking about them, what do you guys think of the Calypso twins?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't like the voice actor Tyrene too much. It felt too forced, you know, compared to everyone else his voice acting.
Yeah.
I mean, I just didn't really like them, honestly. I thought Handsome Jack was funny and annoying. Yeah. Like, well, I wanted to kill him funny.
Was Troy Baker Handsome Jack?
Yes.
I think Troy Baker was Handsome Jack.
Yes, I believe he was. Let me double check. But continue.
Yeah, I don't know who that is, so sure.
Troy Baker does...
Nolan North does Nathan Drake, but Troy Baker is another famous
cool.
that they hire over and over again.
I can't believe I'm blanking on what Troy Baker is, what he does. Whatever. We're going to get flamed later on. But it's fine. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I just didn't really care much for them, to be honest. They were just kind of there, and I was more interested in doing other things rather than just listening to them. Honestly, I kind of tuned them out a lot.
Yeah.
And just look at what I'm doing at the moment, and that's pretty much it.
Okay, so update, Handsome Jack voice actor is not Troy Baker, it's Damon Clark.
Okay.
Oh.
I was totally wrong.
Probably fucked up his last name, but that's my AKA. I kind of liked the premise, but I was quickly taken out of it by the slapstick of it. I felt like that was a little too over the top. Actually, you know what? It's funny because now that I'm thinking about it. I was listening to a review from some outlet or whatever, and they were saying how it would have been really, really cool if they did the YouTube thumbnail kind of thing as their like intro screen.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, yeah, that would have been a way of like pulling the whole YouTuber aspect into it.
Yeah.
I think it's like we all understand what Gearbox is trying to do with these characters.
Yeah.
But I think we all agree that they didn't necessarily nail it.
No.
In terms of like having that like YouTuber, but like Logan Paul YouTuber kind of thing, where it's just like, dude, you're fucking annoying kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think as characters, I was fine with them. I wish they were more charismatic as Handsome Jack.
Yeah.
But you just shoot them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Agreed.
You just shoot them.
Okay, so what did you guys think of Ava, the new Siren?
I thought she was all right. I mean, I know I could see why she...
You didn't love her, Jordan?
I could see why she was not appreciated by most people, but I understood why she was there.
Yeah.
You know, like, I was like, oh, this is the next generation of Vault Hunter passing on. I mean, I'm very sad that my main had to die for her, you know, like Maya ended up dying, you know, but it was kind of like the Star Wars, you know, master Padawan situation. Like, okay, in order for her to grow, her master has to, you know, get die chopped in half thing. Or whatever.
Yeah.
But no, you know, I didn't talk to her at all, like in between missions.
Really?
I was like, all right, take care. Sorry about your best friend. I honestly didn't know, like, I don't know if they truly understood how to properly not just build importance of her. I, like, there wasn't any importance of her as a character, to be honest. There wasn't, right?
I mean, she provided the shield for Tanis.
Yeah.
Anyone could have done that. Lilith could have done that.
Yeah. Well, no, she didn't have powers.
Then.
Oh, yeah. Well, you could have put a bubble shield. I don't know. It's the future. Give Tanis a shield.
That's true. That's so true. There's tons of them around. Just give her one.
So many shields.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, that's one of the weird Borderlands thing where it's just like...
Tanis had more importance than Ava in the third act. Way more importance.
Tanis was one of the most important person in this entire story. Yeah. Yeah.
And her thirst for Typhon.
See, that was funny.
That was probably one of my favorite things in the game.
It's like, you know, this man is he done lived a life. He had a wife. She's dead.
To talk about this a little bit more, I thought his love for his wife and how he like documented it throughout and like how he just kept talking about it, like
Typhon.
I thought, yes, that was adorable.
That was awesome.
And I really enjoyed that part of the game.
Yeah.
Like, I was ready for Typhon to betray me, though, to be honest.
To betray you?
I felt like I did try to get as many logs as I could, but yeah. I don't know. Maybe it was the cadence of his character that just made me think, like, oh, this guy's going to betray me at some point.
Yeah.
Like, I think they wanted to build him as, like a resourceful type person.
Yeah.
But he came off for me like a swindler. I felt you know, he's going to, like, take the key or something.
Yeah, like, I definitely agree with that. Like, because I got a good number of those, like, little logs, and yeah. It was very much so, like, okay, I mean, he's a Vault Hunter like us, but he's also, he knows how to work the scene that he's in. And it's just like, yeah, he's making money left and right from these people because he's a Vault Hunter. And it's just like, all right, he's living large right now. And you come to find out, oh, you're not just a one note character kind of thing. Like, you're over here for a reason. Like, you just want to get away from stuff. And it's like, oh, that's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So real quick, what'd you think of the main character's deaths? When Maya died, Lilith.
I was shocked at Maya's death. Like, I definitely did not see it coming. So I was a bit sad about that. And then Lilith's death, like, she's a fire.
This girl is on fire.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That's actually.
I immediately put my TV on mute.
Yeah.
I was like, oh,
yeah.
Jesus Christ.
It's funny because in the Borderlands group chat, I talked about it. I didn't spoil it, I talked about it. Yeah. And then you talked about it a few days later. Yeah. Like, the music is some crap. Yeah. Which is bad because Borderlands 1 and 2 had really cool songs.
Great music.
Like, great music, and so I was a little bit disappointed about that, but
I had a really good laugh when that popped up.
Well, Borderlands has, like, a bit of a relationship with the Heavy, the British rock group, which has been doing, like, their intros, you know, forever now. I love the Heavy. The Heavy is a great group, but in terms of character deaths, it was just Maya. I was like, damn, that sucks. I thought Hamlock was gonna die, but he didn't, which is good. Hamlock, because he's a solid character. But yeah, in terms of other deaths, you know, like, it was kind of implied that, yeah, Lilith sacrificed herself, but I don't know if you saw, like, in the ending credits, you know, one of the characters was still trying to look for her. I think it was Tannis that was still trying to look for her.
Oh,
so
really?
Trying to imply that Lilith may come back in a different form.
Right.
Like a phoenix.
Yeah.
She was called the phoenix, right? Well, like, she was a firehawk.
Which would be a phoenix.
So,
you know, like, a rebirth type thing for her.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm trying to remember who else died.
Typhon?
Yeah, Typhon died.
And I feel kind of bad because it's funny, when he was talking about his wife and his kids, I was like, oh, crap.
Yeah.
Are they his kids? And I was like, oh, they're his kids.
Yeah.
I feel kind of bad.
Yeah, that Vault Hunter killed Troy.
I was expecting him to betray me at that point. Like, I can't have you kill my kids or something.
I was like, hey, you're the one. Troy had it coming. He hit me first. He killed me a bunch of times. Yeah. So I had to kill him at least once.
And he didn't. He was just, like, basically they're monsters.
Yeah, yeah.
It's sad that it's come to this point, but, you know, go ahead and kill him.
Right. Bet. All right.
He was a good character. I liked him.
He hounded better than I thought he would have.
Yeah. Okay. So in terms of locations, we don't have to really talk about all of them, but, like, what was your favorite location?
The city planet.
Prometheus.
Prometheus. Yeah, okay. I think that was the best design one, in my opinion. I'm like, yep, this is what I want the rest of the game to be.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's not. Damn it.
What about you, Annie?
I like Pandora. Yeah,
okay.
Pandora a lot. It's just so big. Like, some of the locations there are so big.
Yeah.
Especially when you try to get all the named locations in the map.
Yeah.
I'm, you know, finding a lot of time that I'm spending there. But other than that, you know, everything was just cool.
Yeah,
I really enjoyed it as a second to Promethea. Athenia was pretty good also.
Athenia.
Mm-hmm. yeah
like
I like it was kind of like a like not just like a monastery but like Tibetan high
temple kind of thing.
So I was like, oh, this is pretty.
Yeah, like I
with the cherry blossom trees.
My favorite was Promethea until my favorite is Eden 6. When I first got to Eden 6, I was just like, fuck, this place is huge.
At
that point in the game, I was just like, I don't want to have to do another, like, big map kind of thing.
Because
you come from Athenas, where it's just, like, literally just a straight path. And then it's just, like, this giant open thing. I'm just like, ugh. But, like, the more I, like, stayed there and was doing stuff, I was like, oh, this is actually not bad. Like, once you get, when you're in your vehicles, it's actually pretty quick or whatever. And I like the bayou type look.
Yeah.
Kind of oh, 8 and 6.
Yeah.
It reminds me of this one. Gosh, I can't. Point Lookout of Fallout 3. Like, it has that green thing going on, swampy-ish. Yeah. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. All right. So, what was your guys' favorite story or side story moment or moments? I'll just start because I came up with this outline. So, I already know. For me, it was one of them was the Pandora's Next Top Mouthpiece.
Yep.
Side mission. And that side mission was basically after you beat Mouthpiece, you get the side mission for Pandora's Next Top Mouthpiece. Mm-hmm. And you have to go collect these things to apply to be a part of that, to basically destroy the whole thing. And as you're doing it, you're getting like chat or whatever from like Tyreen and that whole group. And she's basically trying to find the next person to replace Mouthpiece. And eventually you come down to this guy that pops up. He's like, yeah, I can replace him. And she's like, why? Because I look exactly like him. And she's like, whatever, fine, you could do it. So when you get to the boss, you just fight Mouthpiece again.
Yeah.
And it's just like, okay, that was cool. Like, that was a way of having this side mission, having you think that you're doing all this stuff, and just like, you just end up fighting the same guy over again. That's a little stronger. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, that's cool.
I'd have to say this, when you're retaking the Atlas headquarters.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like that kind of the big battle. Like there was a whole bunch of enemies on that one. It was enemy type that I like fighting against the most.
Okay.
The Malwan soldiers. Yeah. I think those are the most engaging fights to succeed in.
Yes.
Like especially like their flash troopers, the ones that kind of like just glitch around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're really varied too in terms of the types of soldiers you fight.
Yeah. Like yeah. I feel like when I fight those enemies compared to creature enemies, I'd like really be on point.
Yeah.
You know, like in terms of the diversity, like some like the sharpshooters and like the heavies, you know,
right,
constantly having to move.
And, you know where to crit them.
Yeah.
For me, I really enjoyed fighting alongside Zero as well.
Okay.
And I think it was Atlas as well. In that planet.
Yeah.
So I enjoyed that. And then let's see, something else I really liked was Athenia, just like that whole map.
Yeah,
there was a lot of really cool things happening. That boss in that planet took me out for days until I had a friend help me out with it. But I mean, I don't know, everything was pretty cool, but I like those two moments more.
Awesome. The other runner-up I would say is the Ratchet Up side quest, where
the two robots.
No, it's not the robots. It's the you get a mission from, I believe it's I forget who you get the mission from, but basically you have to find Terry.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going through the mission and like you hear like Terry is locked behind the door and you're like, hey, like I'm here to save you. He's like, oh, okay, you gotta go press the button over there to unlock me. So you go around, you do this mission, you get to the button, you press the button, door opens up. Terry is it's a rack, and you're like, what the fuck?
Oh, yeah.
You're a rack? And he's like, yeah, Glenn saved my life by putting my brain into this rack.
Yeah.
And then you're like, we gotta go find Glenn. So you go and find Glenn, and Glenn's like dead on the ground. He's like, oh no, yeah. Glenn, you're dead. So he's like, okay, what we could do is, I'll take his brain out and we could put him into another rack. So Terry eats the person,
mm-hmm.
takes the brain out, you collect the brain, and then you have to basically like fight a bunch of creatures to get to like the laboratory area. So you put Glenn's brain into another rack and they're just like, oh, cool. Like we're both racks or whatever. And like at the end, when they're talking, they're like, oh, we're so hungry. And I'm like, bruh. If y'all turn on me, I will destroy both of you guys. Even though I save both of you, I will destroy y'all. But they don't. They just kind of go away.
That kind of reminded me of this other mission there. It's a teddy bear.
Oh, that was over the iced tea.
That was a lot of fun. His little computer side piece. Yeah, that was crazy. I love that.
Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about gameplay. What do you guys think of your character's mechanics in the game?
I actually really liked Flack. Like I said, I played Zero and then I played Mordecai. I love having a pet and I love like, you know, what it can do. I did the gamma burst ray thing for Flack, which was really, really cool.
Yeah.
I love that a lot. And then Flack himself, like, he was an okay character. He wasn't, like, too strong, at least what I played as. I just kind of figured it out as I...
was going, right?
You know, was going. So, I know there's a certain way that you can make him broken and pretty powerful, but overall, like, I thought it was great.
DJ's nodding his head right now.
Oh, yeah.
Because I did that research for Flack and try to figure out, like, okay, what's the most optimal way of playing this guy? And at first, I did start with the... gamma burst thing, and then like I did some research and I saw that everyone was using the fadeaway skill.
Yeah,
it basically makes him, it basically cloaks himself when you first get the skill. You cloak yourself for a
couple of seconds, yeah,
and then you get 3 shots that do crits to anywhere you hit on the person, but it's 200% crit damage. So it's just like, oh, okay, obviously this is the damage thing, so you do that. But then you get another skill that allows you to stay cloaked. You don't have the 3 shots, but all the damage you do while you're cloaked is only 50% damage or critical damage. So for me, at first I was playing around with like the different stuff. I actually never used the rack attack. I didn't see that as being useful in any way, shape, or form. I played with the 3 different pets. I ended up settling on the spider ant and the fadeaway skill. And like overall, like it took me a while because I was very much so like, I made a mistake playing Flak. I should have picked someone else because like I was feeling like I should have picked the Siren because I was meleeing people more than I was shooting them. Yeah. I was like, I'm not doing any damage. Like, why am I doing this? But I ended up settling on those two skill or that skill and the pet. And I ended up really liking the class.
Yeah, I do remember you were like, Black was a bad choice. I've wasted 20 hours of my life.
Yeah,
I'm like, well, that's not the first time. So
I'm not happy.
no, Amara was pretty fun. Out of all the Siren iterations, her is the most complete, is the best way I can put it, in terms of the variety of what power she can elicit. So what I would mostly use is she would have this kind of directional AoE. Like AoE area of effect attack, to which like if you press R1 in a direction, a whole bunch of fists come out the ground and like kind of disperse the enemies and launches them in the air, and it leaves like the element of your choosing. Like she can do fire, corrosion, and she can do shock. Like she starts off with shock actually for the most part. But the other ability that I ended up using was her phase lock. Now, Maya had phase lock too in Borderlands 2, like, but it was like you target the enemy the same way as this one. They're in the bubble. You can shoot them in the bubble. And, you know, like, I think Maya's was, you developed Maya's to the point that when they were in the bubble, they get like elemental damage of your choosing. But Amara, her phase lock is literally, you hit them in a bubble, like you target an enemy and they're in a bubble. They die in a bubble within a certain amount of time. The phase lock will go to the next enemy automatically.
Then
they're stuck in it. And it keeps on jumping and jumping and jumping. And like, I think the phase lock, if you shoot them within the bubble, it like that means more damage to the bubble. But she has other crazy, I showed you the one where she kind of like hovers in the air and like a laser beams on the ground. Now, the only drawback to that one is she's not invulnerable. During that, she can still she can still be down during that moment, which I think should not be the case.
Yeah, it's your ultimate kind of thing.
Well, yeah, like she shouldn't take effect with that type of ultimate because in order for that one to be effective, you have to kind of like dart into it,
right?
And then it goes into like a ground pound. But she starts off with a ground pound, which is pretty fun.
Yeah,
but her array of skills is very heavy on elemental damage and. I found myself in a situation where if I had a gun that complemented the type of element that I was, you know, like shotgun, a fire-based gun or corrosion-based gun, it would stack with the elemental modifier that I had.
Yeah.
Enemies. I think there's one in-game shotgun I got with corrosion. Enemies just would disappear.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's nothing left.
Yeah.
You know, they would evaporate when he got hit by it. So Amara was a pretty fun character to use this time around.
All right. Well, speaking of guns, what was your favorite type of gun in the game that you found or whatever? And then what was your favorite type of element?
I can take that. So I loved pistols.
Like, really?
There's just so many different things. I mean, I don't know. It feels like guns except for like shotguns and maybe rifles, it doesn't really matter much what you pick because fire rate is extremely high.
Yeah.
The elemental damage that you can do is also extremely high. You can go scoped or not really use the scope.
Yeah.
I feel like there's so much versatility that it really doesn't matter. I just like pick up a gun, see how it shoots, and then just go with it.
Yeah.
I do really wish that you can level up guns. I know you can go back and re-kill.
If you could level up guns, there wouldn't be a billion guns in this game. That's how they're selling it.
And I did love that gun that I got from Mouthpiece. That COV gun, it kind of shoots little squirrely things. It's so much fun to play with. And I got a high level one after I did the mayhem mode to go back to kill it, which is on my level right now, which is awesome.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. Awesome. In terms of the gun that I liked the most, I found this it was an incendiary damaging shotgun that like launched mortars that once it hit the ground it did like an AOE effect kind of thing. And when I got it, I was at level like 14 or 15 or something. And I kept it to like I think level 30 or something.
Yeah, you can do that. With the right modifiers, you can do that.
And like I found out very quickly that you can, during those levels, I did not care about the elemental types that I was fighting or like if they had shields or armor or whatever.
It make life easier, I tell you that much.
Yep.
Everything burns to fire. Everything. So yeah, I was just like working people with it. I was just like, I'm not gonna worry about like, I like the fact that you had different elemental guns in this game, but for me, I felt like shock was almost useless.
It worked. I killed you all the time with shock. Remember that?
Huh?
Remember when I went against you and Avery?
You were like level, you were 40 levels above me.
No, we'll talk about that in a second. No, shock works. Shock works.
So there's...
Especially as Guardians.
Yeah.
So does fire. Because they burn.
I'm not sure if this is like a skill that you get, but if you do enough shock to an enemy, it kind of goes on to the other one. And that was really useful for me. It didn't happen with like fire or corrosion.
Interesting. I did not know that. Like I would mess around with fire and radiation. I actually liked the radiation. I had a grenade that...
Radiation can be fun.
Yeah, I had a grenade that like it blew up, but then it was like a pipe bomb that had other bombs in it.
Yeah.
So like it basically would just one shot people, and I'm just like,
You had homing grenades.
I'm good with this.
Lock mode. But no, I'm sorry. Were you finished?
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Like the strongest feature of Borderlands is their creativity with gun design.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So, and which is usually expressed by the manufacturer.
Yeah.
So, in terms of manufacturers,
Atlas sucks.
Atlas, you know what? I think you had an Atlas rifle that works because Atlas, their guns were all like not just tracking but accuracy. Like, and also Mal-1 didn't do assault rifles.
Actually. No, they did the.
They did submachine guns and sniper rifles.
No, well, they do the elements.
And shotguns.
Yeah. And their guns are charged.
Okay.
Yeah.
But there's this one gun that I got from a mission on Eden 6. And I don't know if anyone was using that gun that much, but it came from the dude that was kind of like doing the jackass. Once again, another expression of how this...
Oh, yes. Yeah, I got that. I got that gun.
So, yeah that gun doesn't...
I think that mission's called Let's Get It, Vaughn.
Yeah, so I forgot the name of it. But basically... that gun is a COV gun, which is a new manufacturer of from this game, the Children of the Vault guns, which usually do not require a reload. The reloads are either you replace with a new muzzle, you put water on it to cool it down, which is a pretty fun animation.
It's but like a little water gun you squirt, though.
it was a pistol. It was a fire element pistol, and I thought that this gun was broken in a good way, because it literally had 900, it takes 999 shots for it to
break. Yeah.
But it did not consume any pistol ammo.
Yeah.
I just get like you hold it and it doesn't break. It doesn't consume any pistol ammo. It just keeps on going. I've used that game until same like you, I got like level 14. I use it until level 26. You know, like,
right?
I still have it. I put it on my wall. I like, this gun saved my life so many times. But I genuinely enjoyed the Jacobs revolvers because of like the action of like pulling the trigger like on your controller.
Yeah,
like you can flare it pretty quickly and like turn that fire rate higher than what the perceived notion of fire rate is.
Right.
You know, in that game. But no, yeah, the Jacobs guns, that gun in particular. And rockets. No, not the rocket ones. The other two, Tordior.
Tordior.
I have one submachine gun that would chase.
Yeah. Yes, people I around. Love that one. Yeah. One. That is great.
Yeah, it's actually funny because I, at the beginning of the game, I liked those guns,
mm-hmm.
but I had an issue where like I felt like the skill was cool, but it wasn't giving me the damage output that I wanted with like having like elemental damage mm-hmm. or like Jacob's guns that are just like ridiculously overpowered.
Yeah, because
so it's just like mm-hmm. I like what that does, but like the I need one, this to survive.
The one Tidjor that I was talking about earlier that I was like when you guys would challenge me.
Yeah,
that one was a shock Tidjor, to which I mean it was a very powerful one because not only did it have like kind of like the grenade you were talking about.
Yeah.
You throw it, it hits them, but it breaks off into other ones, and it homes into other enemies. One enemy just melts them; they're dead.
Yeah,
shock damage too.
I feel like I also had that one, and that one was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
It
would kill very quickly. Yep.
Yeah,
I enjoyed that a lot.
Okay.
Did it does not believe us. He's like, shot two shotguns are garbage.
I still have shock damage so is garbage. I'm excited.
if DJ does not have the experience, it is fake.
I mean, if it's not fire, then it's not burning people and it's not doing anything. But yeah, okay. So let's talk about some of the issues in this game that we haven't already covered.
Oh my gosh, so many bugs.
Let's talk about the issue of loot in this game and how amazing the loot is in the vaults.
Yeah, that's well, I mean, were you being sarcastic? I thought I was like by
absolutely being sarcastic.
Okay.
Yes,
well,
yes.
Yeah, you know, when I look back, even the last vault that I had.
Yeah.
The last vault at the end of the game.
I was literally pushing Tannis out the way. I don't care anymore. And like, cause like the only good loot you get was from Tyrion herself.
I think yeah.
For me, it was like a rocket launcher or something, which was level 35. I was level 44. It didn't matter to me anymore.
Exactly.
But yeah, like there ain't nothing up in there. It's like blue and greens. Like this all should be blue and up. Should be blue
and
up.
Yeah, and it's offensive in a way because vaults are supposed to have loot. Like
loot.
I'm not supposed to get loot from like, or better loot rather, from a legendary hunt or like a chest or
nobody that's just outside chilling.
Some person.
Right.
This dude drops an epic drop and then I get nothing in this vault. And it's like, what the fuck?
Like green stuff? No.
Yeah.
I mean, the money was okay, but like, no, I was just, no, I did not like it at all.
Yeah. I actually took a video, if I ever post it, of me walking into the main or the last vault and then opening up the vaults and just see like whites, greens.
Yeah.
And then like,
offensive.
I think there's a blue. And my character literally just like slow pans around and just looks at the ground.
I a joke to you?
Exactly.
When you go into the vault itself, it's like, it's very elaborate, you know? Like, it's like dark, it's like mysterious.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Thing of like water reflecting around a fire and crap.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yo, let's get this.
Like the sculptures. I'm like, oh, this is cool. Here.
Let's get this purple. But I don't know. They decided to go that way.
I just feel like it would not have been difficult for them to put maybe like five or six, a couple of blues, some purple. You don't need to put an orange one there all the time, but like something better than what we got.
Right. Like at least give us like you can have the four normal chests or whatever, but in the middle put like that red chest that gives you better loot or something like.
Yeah, it should at least be equivalent to a golden chest. I feel like that's honestly, that will be a great compromise.
Yeah.
Because you can get those if you just follow like them on Twitter.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know.
Yeah,
exactly. I feel like that's something that they could have done.
Oh, you mean like you mean like the golden keys, like the golden ship keys on your ship, but you think that there should be like a set one within the vault.
Set
golden chest in the vault.
Like part of me feels like and it's weird because this game has a billion guns, but it feels like they like lowered the level to guns you get in the game to like push you to like get the shift codes to get the golden chest stuff.
Yeah.
And it's just like, why? Like, you have so many guns in the game, like, just give us the fucking gun.
No, you can't make money.
I remember.
Money, it's so DJ.
Annoying. It's oh my gosh. I think it was Borderlands 2.
Yeah.
And it happened so often. Like, I remember just killing this one dude, and the whole area, like, the whole radius of it was just filled with guns.
Guns, right?
And,
yeah.
And just like, what is this? Like, what is this now?
Exactly.
Yeah.
No. So, speaking of that, so let's talk about the UI and the space that you have on your Vault Hunter. How'd you guys feel about that?
It was broken. The UI still hasn't been patched yet. It's still very clunky and slow. Yeah. At least in terms of the start menu and your ability to select guns. I had a terrible issue one time accidentally deleting a gun that I did not mean to delete while I was, you know, because you know, you sell off your guns that you're not using anymore. I went to a panic, like, shit, no!
Yeah.
Right? And I was like, thank God I could buy it back. But and also there's a misclick with my skill point, like me setting skill points.
Yeah.
Like that happened at the beginning of it. I'm like, okay, now I have to be premeditative and really focus while selecting my skill points.
Yeah.
Or I have to respect myself over again. I don't remember why I picked the first time. I just picked what I like at the time, and I'm not going to remember.
Right.
So yeah, like the UI is very clunky and broken.
Who are you?
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I just feel like I wanted to just love it, but there's just so many issues, and I still do love it, but I'm just kind of annoyed that we had to, we spent like an hour or so in that Circle of Slaughter for this thing to just not spawn, and then like, oh my gosh, it's just annoying. And then when I fought Troy, like, I just went into nothingness. Like, it legit was white.
Yeah, right?
And you can see, like, the vault the kind of floating, leaving you. And I was like, what's going on?
I think that issue happens in a whole bunch of games. Like, the character sinking into the earth while the planet above them just rises. Below them rises above them.
But like, so I didn't even jump off. Like, it just kind of happened.
Yeah.
And I was playing multiplayer with a friend, so I had to leave the game, go back.
Man.
And it was just stressing. Yeah. But overall, I mean, I kind of don't want to love it, but I still love it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it was fun, but like the issues are just boy. So for me, the issues were one thing.
Mm-hmm.
The space in my character.
Yeah.
I fucking hate it. Okay?
Like,
I am a Vault Hunter. This game is about getting guns. This game is about using guns and selling the guns.
Yeah.
Why does my Vault Hunter backpack, like, fit like a Lunchable in a juice box? And that's it. And it's like, come on. Like, give me more space.
You have to buy it. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you do. It's just like,
I think the gold level one, in terms of scaling and after each purchase, I think after 81,000, it jumps all the way to 725,000.
Yeah.
Like, that shit.
Yeah.
That's very
And
aggressive.
Then the next slot is 2 million.
Saying I had one element. One of the element things you can get, like the modifiers, that increases my ammo, cash.
Oh, your artifact.
The artifact.
Yeah.
So it doubles the amount of cash I get in terms of every drop.
Oh, yeah, you did tell me about
so
that.
So I'm like, yo, ain't no other artifact matters right now. Because, like, I'm swimming in it because of that one drop.
Yeah.
You know, it's a very rare one. See, even though it's a blue, it's a very hard one to get. But that one drop in terms of your ability to increase the amount of, you know, ammo capacity and book bags size.
Yeah.
It's very important.
Yeah, that's super useful. Like, that's a really good drop to have.
But especially still, like, 725 will still hurt my pockets.
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually, yesterday, I bought the last backpack upgrade.
Mm-hmm.
And that was after playing Circle of Slaughter.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I am big mad about this.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, all of the Proving Grounds that we played with Avery, me, Annie, and Avery, and was just... Marcus played at some point too, right?
Marcus, no. And I think
I played with Jordan. Too.
Yeah. You played. Yeah.
I played three
of
you them.
Did. Yeah.
And you guys, let's go back and play the first one. I don't care.
Yo, every one of them. Every one of them.
You hated them.
When that chest opened at the end, I got the golden shit. That you get in Breath of the Wild when you collect all the Korok seeds. That's the fucking thing that I got. I was so upset. And it's just like, oh, maybe the next one gets better.
Because
spit in your face.
It was funny because Annie, Avery, and I were going like, wow, you know, we found like this fucking nice gun. Like, oh, I found like this nice Jacobs.
I feel
and
so
everything.
Bad because while we were actually in game, I was getting like
legendary drops and stuff. I was like, oh, good job. I'm so happy for you.
I'm so sorry.
like you could hear DJ's eye duck welt. He was saying it like, wow, guys, I had a whole bunch of fun with you. Like, wow, oh man.
I'm glad I could be supportive.
Such a great time. Yeah.
But then I finally got one legendary drop after all the suffering.
And we were, you know, and like Annie, Avery, and I, we were so happy. We're like, wow, hey.
Yeah right. Yeah. I will say we have to do this as a group. We have to go back to the map in Mayhem mode and just fight people. Like, I legit got like 10 legendaries in an hour or so of gameplay, which was ridiculous.
You are not wrong, because once we did the Circle of Slaughter, before we did Circle of Slaughter, I was actually like trying to play in Mayhem Moment and survive, and like, I was getting better loot. Mm-hmm. And then once I got to a point where I was like, okay, I can survive now.
Yeah.
I was getting drops out of like everybody. I'm just like, oh, this is nice.
Which kind of sort of devalues legendary drops.
Because
they're legendary drops, but they feel like actual purple rarity guns, where like they're not that great.
Exactly.
But you know, that's a problem for another day.
Yeah. All right, let us end with the end game.
What about it?
What do you guys
think of
the
game?
The game
ended after the credits. I was like, all right, I'm good.
Well, this is gonna be a conversation between me and Annie, because Jordan has bail.
I'm like, yeah, have fun, thank you.
Like, okay, so this is separate from the events and stuff they're gonna run, because you know that's always a way of generating
DLCs.
People to come,
yeah.
But what do you think of the Mayhem mode and Proving Ground and Circle of Slaughter endgame content? Do you think that is good? Do you like it? Do you wish they did more? Do you hate it?
I actually like it. Okay. Like, I like the Proving Grounds more than I like the Circle of Slaughter.
Yeah.
But we get more money in the Circle of Slaughter. We get a hella money. I got like $1.6 million in just one of the Circle of Slaughters, which is great. So I can buy all the backpack things
I wasn't paying attention. Like, the reason why I was able to buy the last backpack slot was from the money that we got from Circle Slot, and like I didn't, because I guess my eyes, when I'm playing the game, I'm not looking at the bottom right corner, so I don't ever see how much money I'm making. So like, I completely was unaware. Like, I made plus $2 million, and I was just like,
that's crazy.
Bet. What do I want to buy in this entire game? Mm-hmm. Marcus, I'm buying you now.
Yep.
No, Marcus, I'm buying you now.
Wait, which Marcus?
Your Marcus.
Oh, no.
$2 million.
Yeah, Proving Ground was fun playing with you guys. You know, like, it did feel like a raid. You know? Like that. I think those are their version of raids.
Yeah.
And they'll probably add more, you know, raids in the future. Yeah. But yeah, you know, when it comes to Borderlands, I do play it for the story. It just felt like, you know, the story was just, at least after the second act, was pretty like a bit of a deadpan at the end of it. And I'm like, you know, I'm fine. I'm happy. I'm fine with where I am in that game.
Mm-hmm.
As I said, I'll get to level 50 when I get there.
Right.
Same as last time. We'll see me. I never get there. I don't care.
Yeah. Like I'm.
But I'm good. I'm fine.
Like right now, I am halfway to level 50. I'm not there yet. Yeah, I've been getting the badass ring stuff, which is cool. But
I remember because like in Borderlands 2 and 1, the badass ranks you were able to apply it during your first go around. It turns on for me, but I don't have any points. Like, what I have in my
You just have to keep like killing things and doing stuff. It automatically shows, like, I guess that little line above
purple
your
level.
Yeah, purple.
It's like
bar.
A separate.
Well, I remember like getting all those points during the thing.
No, you got to after you beat the game, then it turns on. Then you can start getting XP to go to that.
Right.
Yep.
Cool. You thought this game was going to give you stuff, Jordan?
I thought this game was going to give me stuff. And that I bought.
Right?
Stuff.
Okay, so the last question for this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go around the table.
Yep.
And I'm going to ask you, Annie, would you press X on this game?
For sure. Even though it has issues, like I can't remember the last time where I played a game in 3 weeks. I've done like 50 something hours, and I have a full time job.
Yeah,
and I'm doing my master's right now. So
there you go.
And I'm trying to go to the gym.
So you're being mad irresponsible, right?
Yeah, I am being very irresponsible right now, but I love it. I love playing with you, Avery. Jordan, that was cool too. And Marcus is kind of being lazy right now, but
kick him off of control and get him back in this game. I sent him like a bunch of legendary stuff yesterday.
Yes.
Epic stuff.
I mean,
what for his character?
Yeah, because I had to get rid of it. I didn't want to sell it. Like,
I mean, I've gotten legendaries of y'all classes too, but I just sell it.
And
you didn't even like this.
Even though I never actually used a rocket launcher, I just sell it.
It's really?
25K pop.
Yeah.
They're actually pretty nice.
Yeah.
Just be a little bit distant between you and your enemy because it will hit you too.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're like down, to which you're like, you know what? Second win. Let's go. On the
point down. Right. Everybody died. Okay, Jordan, would you press X on this game?
I would press X, A, and right click.
Oh, because
it is multi-platform. It's not on Switch though. Switch is still garbage. But yeah, I mean, especially for Borderlands fans, you know, like this is it. Hey, it was worth the wait. Newcomers to the story, I think it kind of served both purposes. Like, you don't have to be really deep into the Borderlands lore to, you know, get something out of it.
Right, right.
But yeah, the granddaddy of all looter shooters did a good job. It's not a 10. Like, it's
not a 10.
But hey, compared to all the other looter shooters out there trying to do it, it is one of the best. You know, it still is one of the best.
And I think I would also press X on this game. Just to echo what both of you said, I think this game is marred by a bunch of just issues that could be patched out. The story is serviceable.
Right.
I mean, it does what it needs to do. Like, it does a good job at balancing new people to Borderlands and the old people who have been playing Borderlands.
From that context, of course.
Yeah. And like, we already know that they're going to be supporting this game for long term. So if you like the game, you're going to have content to play in the future.
Mm-hmm. A bunch of DLCs, Tina's Escape from the Keep or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, probably one's bigger than that, to be honest.
Like, I enjoyed playing this game. I found myself having to just understand that this is this game. It has its issues. As long as you're doing this one thing, you are fine.
Yeah.
Just don't try to go crazy or anything. In terms of like it being that looter shooter game, like this was my first looter shooter, Borderlands 1. Mm-hmm. Then from there, I went to 2 and then to Destiny.
Mm-hmm.
And like this kind of makes me want to go back into Destiny because Destiny actually has their new like Shadowkeep
content
drop
good.
Or whatever. And, like, I'm kind of getting, like, I should probably go back to that, see what that's like now.
Yeah, I got the itch.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, play some Division. hey, there's
Wait, you mean Breakpoint, right?
Division 2.
I My only one gripe actually about Fleck is that we didn't get a nice room, and I'm sad about
yeah,
it.
Bro.
I look like yeah, my room feels like I'm a hoarder and that I am a hobo
yes.
and that I smell bad
yes.
and I don't smell bad, so I feel offended right now.
Yes, we need to talk
dude,
about this.
Amara's room, you totally could smell the jade. You bro. Know,
and,
she had like a little
Ma's
bonsai
too. Bro.
Marcus, look, nice. We're sorry. We're going to talk about this. Now, when we were playing as a group,
nice shade of purple.
Yeah.
And I was like,
"Oh my god, how do I get this room?
I was like, "Oh, when do you get the room upgrade?" I think it was Avery.
Avery was like,
"Nah, that's just the room that you get because mm-hmm. you pick
yeah,
your character."
He was playing Amara too.
He was playing Maz. Yeah,
oh, okay,
the gunner.
Nice.
Yeah, and he was like, "That's just the room you get," and I was like,
yeah.
"No joke, my heart was broken." Like I was like, "This is the shithole that I get." Like
yeah.
for the entire game, and the thing yeah. is, like, I like my spaces clean,
yeah.
so every time I walk into that place, I have my camera pointed down at the ground.
Like,
yes, it did feel unfinished,
and no
it
matter
looked unfinished,
yeah, no matter how many Moxie's things you put up on the wall, it's not
yeah, right?
going to be sparkling clean.
It's still a pit,
and there is shit in the room.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, I really enjoyed Amara's room because of the shade of purple it was.
Hey, I enjoyed Amara's room too.
And, you know, I was like, you know, don't get yourself comfortable when you yeah. walked up in there. Like,
I'm just gonna move my vault into your room. All
but
right.
I remember you. Okay, yeah, you were able to unlock like those room decor things, but
yeah it didn't help at all.
No,
not at all.
Mm-mm.
All right. Well, this has been our review on Borderlands 3. We hope you enjoyed this episode as much as we enjoyed making it. Don't forget to rate and review us on your favorite podcasting app. Every little bit helps. In case you missed any of this, you can find all the details and more on our website at pressx2start.com. Still a little sick. But until next time, when we review Death Stranding, I think?
Yeah, y'all have fun with that.
Yeah, they will have fun with that. All right, peace.